This is So You Think You Know Jesus, a podcast that will challenge Christian paradigms, uproot traditions of man, and in the end, energize your faith by grounding you in solid biblical truths as you learn to see Scripture through the eyes of the Jewish Messiah, Yeshua. Welcome, author and speaker Rabbi Jeff Grillo of the Rock of Israel Congregation in North Carolina, a Messianic synagogue that is part of the National Jewish Fellowship of the Assemblies of God. Now, Rabbi Jeff.
Takes me back. Shalom, shalom. Welcome to So You Think You Know Jesus, a podcast that is a ministry outreach of the Rock of Israel Congregation in Hickory, North Carolina. And if you are ever in the vicinity on a Shabbat, just look us up. Find us on the website that's given by Miss Amy. At the end of the podcast, you can catch that. We would love to have your services every Saturday morning at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time. Today, I'm going to be doing things maybe a little bit differently. So I'm going to give you some ammunition, spiritually speaking, of course, when it comes to Jewish people will sometimes, if you get into a conversation with them and try to share the gospel, one of the objections that they will have is this idea that somehow Yeshua, Jesus laying down his life, is human sacrifice, which is strictly prohibited in Judaism. The Torah, the Tanakh, is absolutely against such things, as is Christian Brit Chadashah, or new or renewed Testament teachings as well, to be sure. So I want to just address this and help you to understand why this isn't human sacrifice and why it is acceptable. And it's kind of been birthed out of a conversation I've been having with a Jewish man who does not currently believe that Yeshua is the Messiah, but I believe one day, hopefully soon, his eyes will be open and the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, will show him that Yeshua is indeed Messiah. So there are all kinds of scriptures I can give you that point to human sacrifice being a no-no, but you probably are aware of those, and so we're going to get right into the meat. So, first of all, we have to understand and establish that blood is required for the remission of sin. We know that, you know, apart from the shedding of sin, apart from the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. I had to slow down a little bit. And if you go to Leviticus chapter 1, that entirety of that chapter kind of establishes this substitutionary atonement idea where the blood is required of the various animals for different types of sin offerings. How they are to be done, what is to be done with the blood, and how the pieces are to be handled. It is a very intricate. And Judaism, you know, they try to tell you that substitutionary atonement isn't a thing. Nobody can die for somebody else's sin. It's not true, they say, in hopes that you will not understand and be able to retort. But again, it is all over Scripture. Substitutionary atonement, a lamb for a family, you know, the Pesach, and there are extra biblical writings in the Judaism world that we don't accept as canonized Scripture, but there are some apocryphal writings that point to substitutionary atonement, specifically with regards to Eleazar and the Maccabees. And it is said in one of their books that the death Well, the concept of the death of the righteous brings atonement, right? So they say that Eleazar and his men, when they died, atoned for the sin of Israel. So again, those are not Christian writings. Maccabees is a very Jewish source. There's writings in the Talmud, and I'm not really giving references. I could very easily. I did it at a Shabbat service, but the idea is not so much that you go and read these things, because again, they're not inspired scripture. It's adding unto the word. I'm simply painting a picture for you, if you will, that shows that the Jewish mindset does indeed accept the idea of substitutionary atonement, despite what they will try to tell you. But again, the Talmud teaches that the people said of the high priest who had lost his wife, let us be an atonement for you. There's other places, famous sage Rabbi Ishmael, said, may I be an atonement for them, speaking of the Jewish people, and on it goes. There are plenty of references in Jewish literature, in Jewish tradition, oral tradition, rabbinic teachings that clearly support the idea of substitutionary atonement. What Yeshua did, according to John chapter 10, his own words, he talks about the good shepherd lays down his own life for his sheep. Jesus, Yeshua, in that same conversation there, he says, not once, but multiple times, nobody takes my life, but I lay it down of my own free will. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it back up again. This is not human sacrifice. This was foreshadowed Abraham and Isaac, right? He was prepared to offer up Isaac. The Lord stopped him last minute, but it was a foreshadowing of what was to come. Isaac Yitzhak, although a good man, a very, very good man, was not perfect. He was not sinless. Yeshua was the sinless, the spotless lamb, we are told in Scripture, was the requirement, right, for Pesach, Passover. Where Isaac failed to meet those requirements, Yeshua met them and then some, without question. So, he, again, laying his life down, it is akin to the idea of, you could use this scenario, you know, a teacher is in an elementary school teaching a class and hears gunshots out in the hallway, and he rushes to the door and goes out and confronts the gunman, jumps on him, tackles him to the ground, but in the struggle, the gunman shoots him multiple times. His blood is shed and he dies there in the hallway. Meanwhile, the children, understanding what was happening, head for the windows and jump out the window to safety. No Jew, no Gentile, no person in their right mind would say that what that teacher did was human sacrifice and an abomination according to the law of Moses. Of course not. They would point to that man as a martyr, as a hero, right? No greater love has a man than he lays down his own life, right? And this is what Yeshua did John 3:16, for he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He came to die a substitutionary Yom Kippur, once for all atonement for us, forevermore, for Jew and for Gentile alike. This is a false argument that you may encounter one day. And I pray that this teaching comes to mind, that the Holy Spirit brings it back to your memory if that conversation ever comes up. or if you ever come across the question yourself in your reading and your studying, and you ask yourself, well, wouldn't this be human sacrifice, right? No, not at all. And the other ridiculous argument that was posed alongside of this is this gentleman said, it doesn't make any sense that your God would sacrifice himself to himself. That's just an inability to see and to understand. But the reality was Yeshua, Jesus, wasn't sacrificing himself to himself. He was sacrificing himself for his sheep. He, again, John 10, is the good shepherd. He came for the lost sheep of Israel. He has others, right? They're not part of that flock. That his atoning death and his sacrifice allowed everybody else to be grafted in, to be adopted into the family. So he is the good shepherd of all. And I hope this makes sense. There is a full version of this teaching from this past Saturday, July, what is that, 5th. July 5th, 2025. You can find it on our website, on our YouTube channel. We called it The Validity of the Atonement, and I strongly encourage you to go find that, get the full teaching, and prepare yourself for the day is coming when the Lord is going to use you, he's going to use me to do amazing things in witnessing to and reaching the Jewish people with the Besor, the gospel of Yeshua HaMashiach. Blessings. Until then.
Thanks for learning with us today. For more information and resources, or to invite Rabbi Jeff to speak at your church or next event, call 1-828-201-2883. Once again, that's 1-828-201-2883. Or visit myroic.org. That's myroic.org. Shalom.